Blog Talk Radio. bottom of the well. Dreams stop and die. Darkness goes to twelve. I see the fool twinkle down the road. Shines like mercy on this world of cold. It's been a long while since I've seen you smile. I wanna feel your warmth again. I was hungry, I was dry. I walked a cliff called suicide. I drew a line in the sand. There was water and no land. I could hear my friends laughing while I was still in bed. Drinking coffee, telling stories. And it's been a long while since I've seen them smile. I want to feel them, want to kiss. I can see the birds fly south as goodbyes call from their mouths. I can see the wings fly on like an arrow dashing to the dawn. I can hear the echo of my wish like a kiss that's left my lips. Like a penny in a fountain.
I'd like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight. This is our October the 11th show, 2014. We appreciate everybody joining. My special guest tonight is Bradford Loomis. Bradford, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking your time to be on the show tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Beth will be on here in a minute, too, as well. So.
Okay. Very good. And that's Beth Whitney. And I'll just give – yeah, this is Bradford Loomis. And if you would like to go on his website, it's bradfordloomis.com. Also, you have, I believe, bradfordthebannerdays.com website up.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And that's the project that we do together, Beth and I.
Well, you know, it's – I've I want to talk. There's a lot to talk about, but what this show is basically about, Bradford. I've been doing this about 6 years and interviewing musicians from all over the world, and I just love to talk music, and I love to get into the heads of musicians and see, you know, what's going on and you know what motivates people to do it. I think it's one of the most amazing things is to talk to musicians and artists, and your music is very emotional and it has a lot of heart to it. I really appreciate it. What I'd like for the listeners to know, I'd like them to know everything about Bradford Loomis personally, about you and about how it all started out and you know, about music and what it means to you. So if we could, Bradford, why don't we start from the beginning? I mean, were you raised in a musical family? How did your love for music start out?
Well, honestly, I had kind of a rough childhood. My dad left really early, and there was a lot of abuse in my family. And I think music, we all kind of turned to the arts. Both my brother and sister are really good painters, and not really engaged in any kind of musical pursuit, but that artistic ability skipped me for sure. But I jumped into music, and music was really kind of my way of dealing with stuff, and I think it was a good outlet and a way to kind of express myself, but then also like contextualize kind of what I wanted out of life and moving forward. And so going into high school, I joined choir, as I discovered that I could sing. And so I really liked the choral pursuit, because I'd always, the sports that I liked were really team-based sports. And so I really got into the team endeavor. And so that definitely, you know, being in a choir or, that type of musical pursuit, even a band, really, it's a lot of teamwork. So it's so I really liked that communal aspect of it also. So that's really how I got my start. And once that bug bit me, then I knew that's what I wanted to do. And it took me a while to figure it out. I walked away from music for a while. When my wife and I had our kids, I tried to buckle down and get like a real job, and I just hated it. I was miserable, and it took me a while to realize that music could be my real job, and so I hopped into that for a couple of years. Thankfully, that allowed me to kind of prepare myself before I met Beth and her husband Aaron, and once we've met, then we started working together and writing together, and it's all just kind of accelerated since then. We've really loved the music that's come out, and the album has been received really well, and we've had some really cool opportunities come down the pike for us, and so we're really excited about where things are headed with this new record.
Well, Bradford, you hit on a bunch of really, really good points. And one of the things you were talking about, that talking about your childhood and growing up and maybe, you know, some difficult situations. When did you know that music was something that you could reach out to and kind of get away from things? Because I've had that same conversation with quite a few people where there's this place that you can go that can take you away from a lot of pain and a lot of things that are going on. And in your life, when did you know that? I mean, were there certain musicians, Bradford, or certain songs that touched you and made you think about maybe some of the things that the songwriters were singing about, that would they had gone through the same things maybe? I mean, how did that work?
It's actually kind of an interesting story. So when I was in sixth grade, you had to choose band or choir. And band seemed like the better option for me. And so what they did when you joined band, they had you watch this, I think it was an old Disney cartoon, it's Peter and the Wolf.
Okay.
They had you watch this cartoon, and that's how they decided. So they asked you some questions after you watched this cartoon. And
that's
so
wild.
You were, each character in the cartoon had a specific instrument that played when that character was on the screen. And so they had you pick which character you liked, which sound you liked. And it was weird because it just got me thinking about the story told by musical instruments in a different way. And I found this very kind of silly cartoon that I'd seen before telling me a very interesting story in a very purposeful way. And so that really kind of opened my eyes to narrative-driven music and the potential that music has for conveying information. And if you've ever seen it, it's very orchestral, and so it's really pretty dramatic and beautiful. And so that's really kind of where I think I first had any kind of inkling.
Well, you know, also you talked about the choir, and I remember when I was, I think I was in middle school, and I was in the choir, Bradford, and it was like the choir director, this is in the school, and it was not into it. You could tell, you know, it was like people kind of did whatever they wanted to, and the songs were loose, and they, you know, weren't structured, and there was no discipline. And then this choir director left, and this other choir director came in, and Bradford, it was all business, and it was serious stuff. And we would start, we had to learn our parts. We had to, you know, it was like it wasn't free period anymore. And I can remember I've said this a couple of times on the show. I remember being in the choir and I was sitting there and we were doing our parts and she stopped the entire choir and looked right at me and said, John, I want you to sing your part from the beginning all the way through by yourself.
Yeah.
And I thought, what? You know, and God love her. It was like from that point on, Bradford, I took it very seriously. I listened to everything she had to say. And I started to understand that, you know, music is this, you know this as well as anyone. It's this creative ocean. There's no boundaries to it. You can't begin and end it. It's just amazing. That's the thing that you know, when I was younger, that I started getting really involved in it because I thought, wow, there's a lot of things, you know, you have a beginning to the game, you have an end to the game, you're talking about team sports and things like that. But with music, there didn't seem to be that. There seemed to be, okay, like John Lennon's making some chords I'd never heard before. And where did that come from? And were part of his brain, you know, and I started thinking about that. And then hopefully I'm not rambling here, but then you connect that to the discipline that the choir teacher had, where it was like, okay, we're going to take this incredible energy called music, and now we're going to focus on what we can do with it. Did you find that was a part, or does that make sense to you? I mean, how that you were kind of introduced into music at that point?
Yeah, and there were elements of that when I was in band, but it was I ended up picking an instrument that I was really bored with, and so it wasn't very challenging for me, and there wasn't enough. I had a very similar experience, but with band it was undisciplined, and then when I got into choir, when I switched over to choir, it was very much you need to know your parts, and when we did know our parts, it was, I mean, the difference was tremendous, and it was definitely motivating to get the parts down and to sing it and well, and to sing it, you know, in well, pardon the pun, but in chorus with the other choral members. So, yeah.
Did you find it also, and I have this in my personal life, did you see it as a confidence builder for you? Because I can go back at that part of my life, Bradford, and I can pinpoint that. And I can think about how that once we started as this little, you know, I live outside of Columbus, Ohio in a small town, and it's a rural town and there's not much going on. And how this little group of people with the direction of this lady, and you started feeling this confidence and you started building on that. And I started thinking, gosh, we're pretty good. We can actually do this. And I started, instead of like, you know, being, well, I'm in choir. It was like, hey, I'm in choir. You know, and it was a pretty cool thing. Now, how do you think, I like to throw this at musicians and see what you think about this. In the day 2014, we live in a pretty interesting time. A lot going on with kids, the internet, all this type of music going on. A lot of challenges and things for kids. I don't know if I had the same ones when I was growing up. But what do you think arts and music has of responsibility, or what can it do, Bradford, do you think, for kids today to help them build their confidence? And how important do you think music is in the curriculum today?
Oh, man, that's a huge question. Beth is here, by the way, too, now.
Hi, Beth.
I think that...
Hey. Hello.
I think that music, it's like one side of the coin of who we are. Because even if you're not creating music, you know, a lot of people are left-brained predominantly, and a lot of people are right-brained predominantly, and then we're always some kind of balance between the creative and the scholastic pursuits. And I think music, even when music crosses a lot of those boundaries, whether you're creating or not, I know musicians who have never written a song before but are brilliant musicians, and you know, they're more left-brained about how they approach music. So I think music is a language. It gets our mind working in a very different way, but then it also helps us to contextualize what's going on around us, our environment, our history, our culture, our experience. And then it allows us to speak to change. It allows us to speak to inspiration and how we see things going forward. So it's a great way to be informed by the culture, but then also to inform the culture and shape culture. And I think that it's a way of it's part and parcel with the human spirit, I think. And so it absolutely is a means for helping people to be more complete. And so whether you're creating or learning how to appreciate, I think it's paramount in our education system that we have some means of musical education, whether it's just a year of piano lessons. You know, it gets kids thinking about rhythm. It gets kids speaking another language, a mathematical language. And then if they go on to create something, you know, pick up another instrument or something like that. It shapes our brains.
That's a great point about the creative and the scholastic piece. I've got some friends of mine that are in, you know, pretty deep into education and some of the problems and situations that pop up. And it's always kind of this interesting thing how if you can get kids to create things, whether it's art or whether it's music, whatever it is, it sparks life in them, and they start, they just come alive. It's like I can't even explain it, but I think you did a really good job at doing that. It like wakens something within the person that can lay dormant, and I think can be very detrimental to society. I'm asking you guys. I asked Beth the same question. I mean, what do you think we can do to help, you know, keep this going and to keep people interested in it? Because I know that, and I don't know how it is where you guys are, but, you know, here they cut a lot of budgets, and the first things they cut are arts and music.
Well, yeah, I totally, I see that as a detrimental thing to youth. I think as artists, we need to allot some of our time to preparing youth and helping their creative side. I know I've done some, like, I worked at a preschool for a while, and I would do this thing called Guitar Thursdays, and I would come in with my guitar and play songs with the kids, and we'd make up little things, and it was my favorite day of the week for sure. But yeah, they like you said, they light up and come alive, and planting those seeds, I think, is the important thing. And as parents, you know, maybe leaving instruments lying around, and yeah, just trying to give them those opportunities, because digesting life with music is easier than without, I think, or some sort of creative outlet.
No, I agree. Yeah, that's a great point. So on Guitar Thursdays, which is I really love that. That's just such a cool thing. And if you hear my Yorkie in the background barking out the window, but so that's Charlie. He's in every show almost. So Beth, when you were doing that and you were sharing your music and your musical talents and your gifts with those kids, what did you get from them?
What did I get from them?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, my favorite thing was how delighted they would be when they came up with an idea. I've done some, probably my favorite thing would be, I've done some songwriting camps with kids, and it's so fun to, I mean, the five-year-olds are always my favorite to write with because they are just shameless with their, they'll just, like, say any idea that comes to their mind without feeling.
I love that.
And then, like with the seventh graders or high schoolers, you know, they're it's a lot quieter. They really like filter their ideas and then only come out with something they think might be cool. And even then they're like, I don't know. You know, so it takes the 5-year old, they don't have that filter yet and they're still having fun. It's creative. And the high schoolers, it takes a little bit more time to let them open up and just be silly and creative. And in that, you know, you can go beyond even silly and you can get to the heart of some things and start processing their lives and their hurts and their joys with music and lyrics. So, yeah, what I got, I mean, from the five-year-olds especially, was just the inspiration to allow myself to be creative and brainstorm without that kind of voice that says, oh, that's a dumb idea. You know, just be
yeah,
a five-year-old about it. You know, if your brain thinks it up, it's a valid thing. You know, maybe it shouldn't be on the radio, but you can, like, sift through that stuff later. So I got some freedom.
I think that's awesome. I love that answer. I think sometimes when, you know, you look at children's art and when they draw things and you start looking at it and you think, wow, that's incredible. And then I also understand what you're saying, Beth, when they get older, they start, you know, more conscious of things. It's like, are people going to like it? Are they not going to like it? But when you're, that matter, because you don't even know what that means.
Right.
So let's really, I think it's awesome. So how do you guys, since we're talking to you, Beth, I'll ask you how this works with you. So it's always interesting in my interviews with people how to when I talk about songwriting, and it's always different with everyone I've asked. There are some similarities, but most people have a different way. So let's talk about your songwriting, Beth, and how it started with you. When did you know that you could do this, and do you remember some of the first songs that you wrote?
Yeah.
And were you 5 years old?
Probably. I don't remember those, but I started writing poetry, I think, when I was 12, maybe, and they were pretty bad, but in a wonderful, like, young way. They were perfect in that way, so, but I started writing poems when I was 12, and then someone gave me a guitar when I was 16. He handed it to me. And there's a guy from church, an older gentleman, and he said, could you use this? And he held out a guitar to me. And I looked at the guitar, and I was like, thought about it. And I looked, and
awesome.
I was like, yes, I can. And so I took it home. And that's kind of when the poetry and music met, I guess. So it's so I started writing songs that day. And I love it. I've always written poetry, like I said, so that when you add a melody and you add chords and music and rhythm, it brings it even more to life. And it's just such a good way to process this the world, I guess, the circumstances. And so songwriting.
So So how does the process work for you? I mean, is it a structured way, or does it, I was in I interviewed someone last week that told me that, they were just, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, they're laying in bed, the whole entire song, it was Tom Gera. He said the entire song came to him, he just heard it, he listened to it, he went over and, got his guitar out and recorded it, went back to sleep. And it's always interesting to me how it works with people. Is that how does the songwriting process work with you, Beth?
Sometimes it's like that. I mean, where I have written songs where I woke up in the middle of the night and had the whole song in my head. And then if I'm wise, I maybe make a phone recording or something and go back to bed. But sometimes I'll go back to sleep and I'll wake up and I'll still have it, and just play it out. And so it's kind of sometimes it's like they're just sitting in the air, waiting for you to snatch it out. So I think of like lyrics and melody at the same time generally, but more commonly I'll think of a hook just pretty much out of nowhere, and then driving or something, and then the work comes in after that when I have to find structure around it, chord pattern, and then I'm really conscious about, I try to be really conscious about what I'm, every industry nowadays there's like things made that are not worth making, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to produce things like that. So I try to have that filter too, before I put something out.
Well, that's an
But
interesting thing, Beth, because where does that come from? I mean, you're like putting this baseline up of I've got to be meet this certain criteria before I think it's worth. Yeah, where does that line come from?
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, that's a, it's good to challenge that. It's just that, I think there's a lot of things made. I mean, like plastic things and clothes, I just mean things and noise and stuff in the world. I think we just make a lot of it. And if I'm going to make a song and give it to the world, I just, or whatever, whoever hears it, I don't know, I take that seriously. There's like a, I feel responsible to have it be something I believe in,
No, that's a really good point, and I think that's integrity. And that to me, it's always kind of I ask that question because I've been doing this show for a while, and I've listened to a lot of different music, and I have a real love for honest music that comes from a heart, and it can be any kind of music. It doesn't, I don't even care what genre it is, but I've got to a point where I can kind of pick up on that, and I can think, and there are artists, Beth, that I've talked to that are amazing, but they don't really want anybody to hear their music. I've talked to people that have played, and people said, "You've got to hear this person." And yeah, and I think about that. Okay, because you guys, the music that I've heard, you hit on some pretty personal things and some pretty deep things. Is it easy for you to do that, Beth? Is it easy for you, when you draw your music from experiences that you've had and from stories and things going on, has that always been easy for you to do that? To like, hey, I'm going to put this out there. You guys, it's like it's now people can see it and judge it, listen to it, or whatever. Is that something that is something in your mind when you're doing it? Because you were saying you were a little apprehensive about putting music out until you feel it meets that where you feel it's good.
It's an odd thing. It kind of it's hard, as in like sometimes like after you've gone running or something, there's that feeling of like that was worth doing, but it was a little bit tough. There's kind of
Yeah.
like a
Right.
rawness, especially when you're writing with a vulnerability and just honesty about your situation that can feel, it feels vulnerable. So I've
Yeah.
definitely had times where maybe if it was like the first, second, or third time I've shared a song and it's one that's that kind of reaches into the core of me, and then I just, like, pour it out for everybody. I'll play those songs, leave the stage, and just cry. Like, and it's a different kind of cry. There's a heaviness lifted by it, and by sharing that kind of raw humanity with a group of people. So to answer, but it's worth doing. I would rather do that than sing about, cut off jeans or something like that.
That could be emotional, especially who's wearing them. Maybe I'll write a song about that. But I'll ask the same thing to Bradford. With your music, with your songwriting style, Bradford, how does that work with you? And how do you remember, like, that first time when you started thinking, wow, I can do this?
I wrote a song that was very, very specifically about somebody that my mother had married, and he wasn't a real good dude, and it was real rough on the family, and it was interesting because it really affected my mother, and I was able to say some pretty important things without saying them. And it was a pretty poignant moment for me. And I think for her too. Music just has a way of cutting to the quick of a situation of something you're struggling with or, something that's weighing on you. And so it's kind of like I heard somewhere that Greek, has words that mean so much more than, a lot of the words we have in English. And it's a way of kind of communicating in Greek. You know what I mean? It's like that saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, I think a song is worth even more than a picture, in some ways. Or it's very akin to that situation. It has a way of communicating such a grand idea so quickly. And a lot of songs are like around 3 minutes. So it's a powerful form of communication, I guess.
Now, Bradford, do you remember, that's pretty heavy stuff there. I mean, do you remember when you shared that with your mother and her reaction to that song?
Yeah. I don't remember if it was the first time, but I remember her crying a lot. I played it a couple of times. I was in a band in high school, and it was a song that we had kind of incorporated, and I remember playing it for her somewhere where it was just me. So I don't remember if that was the first time she heard it or what, but I definitely remember a very visceral, emotional response on her part.
Did you start thinking at that point that you could actually, I don't know if you can move mountains with music, but I think it can come pretty close, about how you, that maybe if you would talk in a conversation to somebody about things, it might not work. But with music, how, like Beth was talking about how emotional she can get after us after playing a couple of songs. Bradford, that had to be pretty emotional, having those feelings in your heart about the situation and then being able to relay that to your mother in music. That's pretty touching.
Yeah.
And pretty heavy. So
yeah,
did you build on that? I mean, I'm just trying to get in my head, because that had to feel like, okay, I can communicate. This is how I communicate. I mean, there's probably a lot of other ways you can do it. So did you build upon that with your songwriting and then with your musical career as it went from there?
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's funny, I got away from that for a while when I gave up music. Obviously, I wasn't doing that. But when I got back into music, I was really moved by some of the old slave spirituals. And if you've ever done any research on what they had to go through and what they sang about, there is a drastic juxtaposition where they are enduring some of the, you know, most vile of human conditions, and yet they're, a lot of their songs are about hope and about overcoming. And that was really powerful to me, especially so when I found out that there was a coded language involved in a lot of the slave spirituals. So a lot of times they're talking about very specific things that they're making reference to that seem like they're biblical. But, you know, if they're referencing the Jordan River, sure, that has a means of, like, crossing over, you know, communicates crossing over. But it also communicates crossing over the Ohio River, getting into the north. And so there's a coded language there where it means more than one thing. And that opened up a whole new world for me, because then it showed me that, like, I could, by means of kind of a parable or a story that's a little bit nebulous in terms of details, I could explain a situation that paints a vivid picture but could mean many different things. And so I can say something extremely deep and heartfelt and, you know, painful to me and feel like the people who are going to get it are going to get it. And the people who don't can make it whatever they want. They can take from it whatever they want. And so that's really how I've tried to write my music. And when I first heard Beth's music, she paints such vivid pictures with her lyrics and conveys emotion in her singing so potently that I knew right away that I wanted to get to know her and to write with her. And then after seeing her and her husband perform, they're such fantastic performers and really the nicest people you could possibly hope to meet. It was a blast, and it just felt right to start this project with them. So
that's awesome. When you did the first time you sang with Beth, do you remember that, the very first time?
Oh, man. The first time we sang together was in a practice, I think, in my living room. We were going through the tunes, some of my songs, because we'd performed a couple shows together separately, but at the same show. And then I asked the two of them if they would consider playing with me on a couple of my tunes. So we rehearsed, and they just picked them up so fast. I mean, Aaron can play music without sheet music the first time he hears it. And Beth is, she's sung so much with so many different people. She just picks up harmonies really, really quickly. And she memorizes things really fast too. So I just remember looking at my wife, who was in the room at the same time, and just thinking, this is awesome.
And, I love that.
Yeah, I knew it was going to work.
And Beth, what do you remember how it felt when you first sang with Bradford?
Yeah, it fit really well. I remember even just technically, like the range he sings with. Sometimes, for some reason, it's like the. If your ranges are in different places, it doesn't quite work. But for some reason, technically, it just fits really well. But then the tones, too, just work. And I could hear that right away. The first time I heard Bradford, it's really hard not to sing along with him. So the first time I sang along with him was probably...
Cool.
Was that one of the shows that we had played together where I wasn't on stage? He was on stage at the time, and I... found myself singing along, you know, to the songs the first time I heard them. So, yeah, the first time we wrote together was probably the most fun for me, because the writing and the singing and playing all coming together kind of made this new thing that I wasn't just singing on, but I was, you know, my heart was in it and my whole being was in it. So it was great.
My guest is Bradford Loomis and Beth Whitney, and their new album is The Banner Days, and there's a website, thebannerdays.com. And can you purchase the songs right from the website, guys?
Sadly, not yet. We're in the process of putting that up there, but we're on iTunes, Amazon. So if you look for the Banner Days on any of those sites, you'll find us on there. So all the major outlets, we're on Spotify as well, and so it's easy to find us. But we're getting that up on the website here pretty soon.
Now, you guys are you on tour right now? You're on the road?
Yeah, we're from Seattle, Washington, but we are currently in Collegeville, Pennsylvania.
That's not too far for me.
Yeah.
So how's it going? Let the listeners know what it's like. What's it like on the road right now for you guys? Good, bad?
Well, we both have families. I have three kids and a wife, and Beth has a son, and her husband's at home right now. And so we try to squeeze every ounce out of touring. And so we don't take a night off. We just go. And so we're playing every single night. So we try to make the most out of it so that we can get back to our families. And yeah, so we're doing that. We've got about four more shows, and then we head back to the other coast. But it's fun. I mean, Beth is really easy to work with and really funny, and so we talk a lot, and we have a really good time. It's pretty awesome.
So do you have any projects or anything, or any shows that you would like to talk about or to let the audience know about?
Yeah. So we've got we applied for a songwriting contest, and we won there are six regions, and we won the West region. And so we've been invited to New York City on November 15th at the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts.
Wow.
And we're one of six groups that's going to play that night. And so we get to play, and if we should win, we get to record an EP with one of the boys from Wilco, and we get to play at the Sundance Film Festival and the NPR's Mountain Stage, and then another show at the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. So we're going to play the Rockwood City Music Hall tomorrow in New York, but we're pretty excited. We'll get to New York twice here in about 30 days. So
now, do you see any differences? I've asked this question to musicians before, and I thought it was one of the it was kind of a strange question, but I've gotten some pretty good answers from it. You guys, you're both from the West Coast, is that correct?
Yes.
What's it like when you travel around? Like, do you think, I know that music comes from different geographies, but do you feel different when you're, like, playing, or do you think your songwriting, your creativity is changed by geography or where you are?
You know, it's funny. With my music, it's, I don't know what it is. I was born and raised in about an hour north of Seattle, about as far from the South as you can get. But for whatever reason, when I'm down in the South, it just resonates. It just feels,
yeah, that's wild.
It just feels right. And, you know, I lived there all my life in the Pacific Northwest. But, yeah, it's been a blast. The Midwest and the South, just the music really resonates. I don't know. It's something about the culture, because the cultures are different, you know. They really are, and it's interesting kind of seeing where those cultural lines cross. And I've seen more of the United States this year alone than probably I have in the entirety of my previous life, or my life previously. I didn't have more than one life necessarily, but. Yeah, so it's amazing to kind of see where those things meet, where the cultures and music affecting people meet.
Yeah, I love that too. I think it's just so amazing. There's a lot of music in this area. Now, you talk about, you know, the song "The Ohio River" that you have out there, and you were talking about that. My mother and father-in-law live right on the Ohio River, and I think it's so incredible how that's Appalachia, and the music down there is so, I mean, you can hear people singing songs and you know, they'll go back into their family histories, And I know that is that a part, Bradford, of what you do with your music now, but is that what you want to do with your life, is to like pass these stories on to your children and see how far it goes?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've always been fascinated by history, and music is a wonderful means of conveying history. It gives you historical details, but then emotional context to those details. Yeah, it's been an interesting thing to kind of see, because I do a lot of research when I write too. So when I'm affected by something, and I read something in history that resonates with what it is I'm being affected by. You mentioned On the Banks of the Ohio, take grief, for example. I was reading about a flood that happened in 37 of the Ohio River. And it really changed my perspective on the grief that I was going through. And music and history are very powerful and very similar in that sense.
Bradford, if you could go back in time and visit any musician ever, a fly on the wall when that was happening, where would it be and who would it be?
Oh, man. I would have to say Johnny Cash. I love his story. His story is such a powerful story of redemption and yet, like, shame and regret, and the unbridling of the shame and regret, and that's very powerful for me. Those have been really potent roadblocks for me personally, and so seeing somebody who very nearly completely self-destructed remake themselves and still have to deal with the consequences of all of their life, and do so in such a powerful and public way, and make beautiful, redemptive music all along is really inspiring to me. It's the human condition.
Oh, yeah. I would have to agree with that. It's just unparalleled. How about you, Beth?
Well, unfortunately, Beth had to run inside. We have a show here in a few minutes, so sorry about that.
No problem, but Bradford, just tell her thank you so much, and I really appreciate you both of you taking the time. I think your music is awesome, and it's been talking to you. It's just been great, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. We really appreciate you having us on.
And we'll keep in touch, and you can contact. Well, just keep up to date with what's going on. BradfordLumis.com, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And thebannerdays.com, and you can also follow Bradford on Facebook. So, Bradford, thank you so much, and good luck with the show tonight, and we'll talk to you later. Have a great night.
Thank you very much. Take care.
I want to thank everybody for listening to John Talk Radio tonight, and we appreciate your patronage, and we'll be back next week with Margaret Ray, and she'll be on at 8 o'clock, a special show. So thanks a lot, and we'll talk to everybody later.
I am over.
never before.